Hey now, welcome to the City Off Campus podcast with your two favorite hosts, Sammy Sommerfeld and Jack McFarland. Jack, I'm reporting live from the queue, halfway through quarantine. We're riding, dude, we're riding right now. We're just chilling, sport. I told all my boys, I'm just relaxing right now. I got like no schoolwork right now. I just got to eat good food, sleep, watch sports. And if I can get the Xbox to work, play a little video games. I got to admit, it's not that bad.
No, it could be. Look, that's how it was for me. You are the second and final one of this podcast that needed to enter the queue.
I know. And it took till 2022, which I got to say, I feel like is an accomplishment.
Just 2022. Yeah.
Yeah. I got to say, it's almost 2 years since the pandemic began. And for me to make it till 22 before I got the vid, you know, pretty impressive, I have to say.
I think my vid was September of 2020.
Yeah, you were as sick as a dog early on. I remember we did a pod like 2 days in, and I'm like, why does this kid want to do a podcast right now? And you're like in bed, and you sounded just so...
It was that alpha
variant. So terrible. I know. It
was that alpha variant and just came through. So, look, at least, I mean, you can still taste. You can still smell. Those are positives.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've had to figure that out when I was eating a Rice Krispie treat. All I could do was feel it. I couldn't taste it. And I go,
yeah, that's tough.
Well, that's weird because... You know, I've never had those senses go away like that, but I legit couldn't taste anything. You could only like feel it, but you could feel way more than you could ever feel before. And I was like, well, it's happening. It's over. And it, look, I got it back within 5 days. I had a buddy who didn't get it back for like 5 or 6 months.
Yeah, that's so tough. Like I've used this time. Like I use this time. I don't usually keep a lot of sweet things in the apartment, but got a few different types of ice cream. Was kicking back last night with an Adam Sandler movie in the ice cream. Just go with it.
Okay, just go with it. Not Fire one of my movie. Favorites, but
it's good. Well, you know what? It's the second time I ever saw it. First time I saw it was like right when I came out. And I'm like, I don't know how this is gonna go, dude. I got some good laughs out of that movie.
Me
and my buddy were talking about it. We were like, it's actually a low key underrated Adam Sandler movie. There's some good humor in it.
But, I feel like you can call any Adam Sandler movie kind of
Nah, there's some.
No, he does a good number of not so good ones that
just go with it was good.
Some
just
people go with could it be good. Like, yeah, wait, this one's got some underrated comedy.
The analytics will say it all because I'm going to defend this movie.
What are you going to pull up the Rotten Tomatoes IMDb?
Nah, the box office says it all. How much it made in the box office?
Well, I go feel by like that's different.
Budget 80 million, made 215 million. I don't know. I think a lot of people. I don't know.
What year did it come out?
2011, dude.
Okay.
It's an oldie but a goodie. That's what I'm saying. But so yeah, so outside the queue, you know, the sports world has been coming to me. You know, with all this news, my mind's been getting blown day after day since I entered the queue on Sunday. And one of the things I, you know, have witnessed is the Baseball Hall of Fame ballot voting. They picked the Hall of Famers this year, and one man was selected.
Just one? Yeah.
Well, one man from the baseball writers, and one man was selected, and it was Big Poppy David Ortiz. And I don't know how I feel about it, to be honest. Like, I get it. He's iconic in Boston, everything like that. But, like, his name was on the Mitchell Report in 03. And people are saying he never tested after that, whatever. But if you're going to not put some of these other guys in, why does Big Poppy get to go in?
Oh, I don't understand this. And we were born, I guess, in the wrong time of baseball because.
Yeah, baseball 20 years ago was the place to be. Well, Sammy Sosa, Wrigley, hitting bombs.
25 years ago, it was dying because
right. There
was nothing. And then it took McGuire, Sosa, Canseco, whoever the fuck else, took them all juicing them up. And then they were like, well, we don't test for juice. These guys are just hitting nukes, Barry Bonds. And they're bringing eyes back to baseball. And now they're like, well, we're not going to do it. So there was a tweet from Bobby Valentine that I loved. And he said, very disappointed we could not get the Hall votes correct. Now the all-time hits leader, Pete, the all-time home run leader, Barry, mm-hmm. the all-time Cy Young winner, Roger, are not in the Hall of Fame. What are we thinking? No last names necessary. You didn't even, like, give the last names. It's just like, These guys don't need it. And the argument about Barry Bonds, apparently he didn't take roids until after he was like 35 or 36. I don't know if you can make this argument. This just came to my mind. Let's say Tom Brady at 35 started doing what Barry Bonds did.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to have the same argument? Like, is Tom Brady not going to make the Hall of Fame?
No, Tom's making the Hall of Fame.
I think Tom would still make the Hall of Fame.
And I've had that argument for Barry. Now, I watched the ESPN documentary last night, actually, that came out about Bonds and everything, and like looking at everything that happened and why it happened. And the thing that's interesting is he won 3 MVPs in the first half of his career. Okay.
He was nearly Hall of Fame worthy without the roids.
With the Pirates and everything, he had a Hall of Fame career, basically. He had 3 MVPs. Like, every other Hall of Famer who has 3 MVPs or more is in the Hall of Fame. Now, some people have made the argument that if you crush the – like, they use a golf analogy. You kill the front nine, but you do terrible the back nine, you're still disqualified. So they've kind of said, like, with Barry, like, he might have not done anything, you know, pre-whatever, and then he did. So it just automatically disqualifies him because he did it at all. But I get it, but it's just like, if you're going to let David Ortiz in, if you're going to let Mike Piazza in, so the best argument I think has been made baseball, who benefited off of the steroid users who are in the Hall of Fame, like Tony La Russa, like Bud Selig, who was the commissioner. Like, how did he get in the Hall of Fame for being commissioner of baseball in the steroid era, and he let it slide? Like, it just doesn't make sense. And honestly, I think this is part of the problem of, like, baseball's dying again now. It's like, nobody, like, the most interesting era was the steroid era. After that, people are like, we don't care anymore. Like, the integrity of the game, like, you know, what does that mean? And, like, some of the baseball writers, like Tim Kirchen, who was on Dan Patrick today, he basically was saying all the good things about all these players who took steroids, because he doesn't want to say the bad things, because he doesn't want to tarnish the game more and make people less interested and be like, oh, this is a sham. Like, you know, like, it's so hard because everything's being counteracted. What do you do?
Yeah, no, I got nothing. I don't know what baseball does. I mean, it's ugly right now between the players and the owners. It gets the millionaire versus billionaire battle right now. It's the battle of the writers thinking that they, you know, have more power than God. Like, that video of Tom Verducci that I see Big Cat tweet every single year of him, like, licking his envelope and, like, sealing it and saying how much, like, 0.1% and how much power their vote. Jesus fucking Christ, dude. Like, you are not that important. And to look at the poll, the 10th and final year on the ballot, Barry Bonds, 66%, Roger Clemens, 65%, Curt Schilling, 58%, Sammy Sosa, 18.5%. You need
Rodriguez, 34%.
Yeah, but those are the guys, like, it'll take some pushing for them to get in, and it's already getting pushed back, and they had their 10-year window. So I don't know if it'll ever happen. A-Rod, he's at, what was his number? I didn't see what A-Rod was at.
Who's at 34%?
Look, he might. He might now, eventually, see, but it'll take some pushing.
The thing is, A-Rod, okay? He was in the 400-400 club. Or no. Yeah, he was, and Bonds was, like, which is 400 steals, 400 home runs. Bonds was the first person to do that. After he did that, I'm going to skip A-Rod for a minute. When Bonds got in the 400-400 club, that he had like 30, 40 home runs. He had like 45 home runs, which was like his most ever, like 47. But at the time, but that was the year Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire got 70. So everybody thinks that's when he switched it on, where he's like, I'm going to transform my body, I'm going to do this, because clearly my type of baseball isn't getting appreciated. So think about this. He hit 400 home runs and 400 stolen bases. His career wasn't even over yet. Like, he was that good. Now, the problem that people have with Bonds is when in year 37, when he's hitting 30, 40 plus home runs and he's 37 years old, you know, people are like, you should be a little bit downhill now. Like, Oh, you know.
Oh,
and he was, and he used to barely like his power in like most of his career was like 300 yarders, whatever. He's hitting like 500 yard bombs now. And that was one of the things where people are like, that's talent.
500 foot. I mean,
500, whatever, you know.
Come on, but hold on. You say Ray's red flag at 37. He's still hitting nukes. We still haven't raised that many red flags about Nelson freaking Cruz. That
nah, everybody knows about Cruz.
I know, man.
Hasn't he tested positive before?
Well, yeah, but it's like, how is he still allowed to
so
like, do
one
it?
Thing, one thing, the argument, one understand. Of the arguments Tim Kirchner made today was, should we be punishing the guys up until 03 who weren't getting tested for it? Compared to after 05, there was kind of stringent testing. So they're saying like A-Rod got caught twice after 05. Like it was obvious A-Rod was cheating. He knew he was cheating. Like, you know.
Well, I'm not a doctor, but I feel like once you start those cycles, it's really, I think, hard, especially at that age, to get off of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like it wouldn't surprise me if that's the case since A-Rod like got two more positives, but it also wouldn't surprise me since Nelson Cruz has been playing since probably 03, definitely a little before. He's 42, I think. 43, maybe. He's definitely probably been one of those names that you just said, like, that's been kind of grandfathered in. But the way you put it, I feel like they kind of made an example out of A-Rod more than anything. He was the martyr, I think, for that report. And, like, you don't hear anyone raise the name to like raise their fist to Big Poppy. The guys on that report. I mean, after he came into Boston beforehand, he wasn't that good. Granted, he started.
Yeah, but
He really he's in that he's listed in that report of being, you know, in the steroids. So I don't.
The thing don't that's been killing the, I think the thing with the Ortiz thing, which I think is kind of BS. I get what they're saying though, is. He never came up dirty after that.
I guess.
And it was before he got all these milestones compared to some of these other guys like Clemens, Bonds. They were already Hall of Famers. Then they became all-time number one greats. Yeah. And so I think that's like, you know, the thing is like people feeling cheated over that. But I'm just like, to me, I felt like the last 10 years, the Bonds, Clemens stuff and the Cubs winning the World Series have been the only things that have kept baseball alive. Like, in all seriousness, with the steroid stuff, like, keeping...
Did you just say the last 10 years?
Yeah, when they've been on the ballot. This debate has kept baseball relevant in traditional media landscapes because, think about it. Like, we're baseball fans, but think about all these ESPN shows, all these mainstream shows, Rich Eisen and ESPN, all this stuff. How often do they talk and debate baseball? This is the debate.
Rich Eisen does football. I mean, he's more of a football guy.
Yeah, but they talk other sports. Like more of a Dan Patrick. Like, yeah, but almost every show's a football show at this point. If you think about them.
But isn't it the league's fault at some extent? Like, we've known that they can't market their best players.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So I'm saying for the league, this is like the one time of the year they're really, truly spotlighted on in main sports. Like, think about the World Series. People like you don't see Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharpe debating back and forth who's going to win the World Series. That I'm just trying to make the point that baseball just isn't that interesting to the majority of sports. I think UFC is a bigger thing now than baseball. Yeah,
well, that's attention spans are changing. Like
that's what I'm saying, and that's hurting baseball.
And they keep trying to do this like pitch clock thing to speed it up, and it's
which doesn't help.
You got to take the pitcher out of the lineup. You gotta put a salary cap floor so you can't have the Orioles come out again with a payroll on the field of like under $3 million. Like I think that's an exaggeration, but still, like they were doing some criminal things this year. I think they need to put more boundaries because it's almost like baseball is one of those untapped revenue sports where so much money drives what happens that the parity in it just isn't, it's not really there. Like the good teams stay good. Like the Dodgers, when have they fallen off out of the NL West? I mean, the Giants, they do too. It's just like success continues, unless you like obviously make bad decisions, but they just need to find a way to make it more balanced. And honestly, I don't know if this fixes it, but adding the DH, I think, just universally helps so much. Just get pitchers out of there. People don't come to baseball games to watch a pitcher come watch three strikes. You know, like that's something I think, so small that they could fix.
Yeah, I think one of the things that they're doing, though, that's hurting is they're also killing all the older fans who used to love the game. Or like, they're like, oh, they're adding pitch clock. They're adding this. They're adding that. All the analytics, this isn't why we love baseball. So the purists who are like, for the love of the game, whatever, even they're getting turned off. I just feel like they're the casual fan and the ultimate serious fan are both being turned off. So where do you find the middle ground to get this large fan base and grow it? And like, honestly, I've noticed just in like being at college and being in classes with people, the only time kids really cared about baseball now is like when they played it as a kid, and that's about it now. Like they're not that interested in it now.
Yeah, I mean, like, unless you're at like, there is the exception of like the diehard fan.
That's what I'm saying. But like football, people will like, I know tons of guys and girls even who like aren't the biggest sports fans, but they'll go to a bar and watch a football game and they'll be interested in it. I never hear friends being like, oh, you want to watch the Cubs game today, or oh, you want to watch this game, or you want to watch that game, you know, on baseball Sunday night, you know, whatever, on ESPN. Like, people just don't care.
No, it's tough. The MLB's got to find a way to like sell their best players and what that like the game has to offer. Maybe getting rid of the shift. I don't know, something. They'll find it. Like, baseball has found a way to survive for a very long time. For a reason. I think it'll find a way, but it is reaching a very pivotal moment where you are starting to get a little nervous. You don't know where it's going to go.
Well, I'm just fearful of like other sports, like even like UFC and some of these other types of stuff, like taking these younger fans digital content. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And through digital content, like I know someone who runs UFC, the UFC Instagram for ESPN. And they do all this work to make, you know, all the clips and stuff as action-packed, as interesting as possible. And I think part of the problem is, like, with baseball fans, is like, how exciting can a home run be on social media over when you're seeing it so many times? Like, how interesting compared to UFC? They hit differently. They're different moves, all this stuff. And I think people are just getting, you know, I think the other thing that hurts baseball is, like, their video games suck. Like, people don't play their video game. It's true. Like,
the show is good.
The graphics are good. The game's not that fun to play.
The game is good. I think baseball also needs to work on getting the best on best. I think they need to work on getting that like on the international scale regularly, not just the World Baseball Classic, but Olympics, whatever. Getting something more like consistent, because I think if you had even just like amateurs, if you had amateurs from all of that and actually like commercialized it and televised it, I think it could be really good. But I had one personal gripe with this Hall of Fame ballot, a name that fell off and one that I hold near and dear to my heart.
Don't say.
Three-time World Series champ, two-time Cy Young, two no-hitters, three-time NL strikeout leader, and four-time All-Star Tim Lincecum.
Oh, okay. Ballot. I'll take that.
Hurts my heart. You're saying something else, so no, he had one of the best.
No Mark Burley praise?
Mark Burley, he's still on the ballot. He's fine. Tim Lincecum fell off it. And I think Tim Lincecum, in my opinion, he was one of the favorite pitchers I had growing up, because when I started watching baseball, his prime was when I started to watch. And his prime was...
You know him from the 09 video game cover.
Unbelievable. You know, I know him from his disgusting curveball that he breaks his spine every time he throws it. Like this, he defied physics with the way he threw. I remember they did a...
Yeah, I was surprised. I was surprised he fell off.
Well, Trevor Bowers talked about it, the way that Tim Lincecum throws, it was bad for his body. The way that he held his spine back and everything, it was...
No, I'm saying fell off the ballot, just because
his prime.
He put the All Star stuff away, but just World Series champ, 2-time Cy Young award. Yeah,
5 years. That's it. You need 10 years of playing time to get on the ballot. He was really good for five, and then he was like,
yeah, average,
to hold
yeah.
on,
hold on, yeah,
for five. And it was, well,
Joe Nathan,
are we just taking like the first half? Joe Nathan, that
Mark Teixeira, Prince Fielder,
give a fuck about those guys. Prince Fielder should make it. Jimmy Rollins, former Chicago White Sox, I don't think he'll make it. But
what about AJ?
No,
I was glad Torrey Hunter made it another day.
Yeah. That's just
I was glad to see him, Jimmy Rollins make it. Manny Ramirez, like, I don't even know how he even got the votes, to be honest, because everybody would say Manny Ramirez was like the ultimate cheater. Like, even when he played, they were like, Manny Ramirez cheats, and we're here for it, but he's never going to be in the Hall of Fame. So I was shocked he got the amount of votes he got.
One of the best right-handed hitters ever. That guy was crazy
good. Now, the one guy I wanted to ask before we wrap this conversation up is, what are your thoughts on Kirk Schilling?
I don't give a fuck about him. I don't care. He could fall off the ballot. I don't really have an opinion on him. Like, everyone because, like, beats his drum. I don't care about him.
Because my whole thing is, like, I don't necessarily agree with what he says or anything like that, you know, off of the field. But you look at his resume as a player, and the things he created, like, controversy over are all things that happened 15 years after his baseball career. So should the player be punished for that? And I get the whole character clause, because part of the issue is the character clause in baseball voting. Should there be a character clause?
No. I mean,
because that's part of the problem with A-Rod, with Bonds, all these guys, is they're using the character clause to not elect them in.
I mean, I'm not going to, like, I don't have names off the top of my head. But I'm sure we could go into the Cooperstown Hall of Fame and find.
And that's what everybody said, is no one's a saint in this.
That's
Babe Ruth. He was an asshole.
Ty Cobb.
Yeah, I mean, Ty Cobb. Exactly.
The guy would slide spikes up to hurt people on purpose.
Cy Young, dude. Like, there were other guys.
There were plenty of scumbags in the MLB, and it's so well refined now. And you know what the problem is?
Hmm.
They try to hold this high standard of, like, humility and just being true to yourself. You want to know which league I honestly think does that the best, maintaining an image and character?
Huh.
It's the NHL. I honestly think they do the best.
I also think, though, too, they just don't have the spotlight that these other leagues have on them, that people just don't care as much.
I mean, you still see it. They make the guys wear shirt and ties. It's a very conservative league.
That's true. Also, the players aren't outspoken while they're playing like they are in the NBA and stuff now, though, too.
Well, it's different. I mean, obviously, each league is different.
But and the NHL players are much more underpaid, so there's a lot less security,
right,
to speak your mind.
But. And it's one of the ultimate team sports. I mean,
that's true.
One guy can do it all.
So, I mean, I think Kaner could do it all by himself.
Yeah, obviously.
I think
he's the greatest American-born player we've ever seen.
I think Kaner. Yeah, I think Kaner can beat every other man on the ice if it was just him on one team. You know, I'm just saying.
But speaking of Chicago, the Bears made a move that
the Bears
all the way back in. Ryan Poles is in. He was the former executive director of player personnel.
I gotta say.
I think they did it.
I gotta say,
this is how we felt with Ryan Pace. I'm nervous, Sam.
I gotta say, Ryan Poles rolls off the tongue much better than Ryan Pace ever did. My opinion.
But it was so Bear fan that we immediately had this, like, PTSD moment where we were like, oh my God, that's really close to Pace's name.
And I'm waiting for one of the first press conferences when people call him Ryan Pace.
Oh, just there will be, like, a deja vu now, moment when they have those end of the year, like, beginning of the year press conferences, and they're talking, like, if they do polls and then they go to the head coach, we'll talk about that, but they go polls to head coach and they'll go, like, oh, Ryan, Adam here. And it's like, oh my God, they're still saying Ryan. Like, it'll just, like, never end.
Now, how amazing is it that McCaskey picked him up from the airport?
Oh, that video, I mean, I will say two things about it. One,
shout out to the fan who recorded it. That is epic.
I mean, that's paparazzi. But that was, like, that ignited the fan base. That was really cool. So good kudos on them. Two, picking someone up from O'Hare at that time. Respect. I mean, it's not like that was early morning. Got to get in, got to get out. I mean, you're going from O'Hare, then you're going north side. And it's not
my current philosophy is that Arlington was just so expensive that they can't afford drivers anymore. And if the NFL won't pay for it, then you got to take your own whip sometimes, you know? Until Poles has his own car in Chicago, you can't be renting him cars. You can't. I mean, shit. Got to get the man there somehow.
I bet he rode commercial.
I know. Not even rode commercial. He probably flew economy.
Yeah.
He was probably middle seat, economy, back row. Couldn't put the seat back. Crying baby next to him.
Yep.
He got to Chicago somehow. Now, talking about the coach, though. Obviously, Sean Payton doesn't want to come to Chicago because of our ownership. Screw that.
Hold on, a little aside on that. I thought it was funny to hear a little anecdote that came out since he's retired that, oh, Sean's going to come. Well, Sean actually told Ryan Pace that this ownership's like uber dysfunctional when he made this decision to come. And so just to hear that kind of get brought up again, I was like, oh, great. We still got that going for us.
Yeah, exactly. It was a great reminder. But the other thing, too, I was like, this was the one question. I'm like, if Ryan Pace was still our GM, could he have landed Peyton because of the 14 years in New Orleans?
No, because Peyton made it sound like he actually hated it. And he did word it how he got to go out on his own terms.
Yeah.
And usually you coach until you're asked not to. And he was
Coming back in a year, but yeah.
Yeah, but he wanted to take his break. And you never get to usually choose when. You don't get to choose your fate in the NFL very often. So I think – like, he was happy to have that power. But, yeah, I mean, he's taking over the Cowboys, I mean, in 2 years from now.
Yeah, it'll happen. 100%. 100%. And the thing that I, wonder now, too, is just, who's our coach going to be? Like, do we go Chiefs again and get Eric Bieniemy? But
no.
Bears fans are going to throw a riot? I'm just wondering, do we get Chiefs ties now? No.
I got the guy. It's Dan Quinn.
I thought you were going to say Mike Singletary because adamant about that today on Twitter.
The connection. Well, Mike Singletary can come back as a linebacker coach. The guy can't have head coach.
Thank you. I was worried you wanted the 49ers old head coach out there. And I'm you are delusional.
Actually, fun fact, first ever NFL football game, Mike Singletary was the head coach against Jeff Fisher. It was in St. Louis. That is a fun fact right there. That was something. Before the game, saw Mike from afar, but I also saw prime Frank Gore, and let me tell you, that guy looked like a fucking unit.
Look like old man Gore.
No, dude, he actually looks the same, to be honest. He was beyond chiseled, but no, I would love Dan Quinn, and I think the reason it will happen, there's a tinfoil. This is that meme of Always Sunny in Philly, guy trying to connect all the dots. I told this to my roommates earlier. This is what I think. So our new GM, Ryan Poles, he played college football at Boston College. Okay. Left tackle, undrafted free agent, signed by the Bears, cut.
Correct.
He played left tackle. His quarterback at the time, Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan loves Ryan Poles, was at his wedding, good friends, still in touch. Who was Matt Ryan's coach when they went to the Super Bowl? Dan Quinn. Right. So by that process of pinning dots together, I think there's been so many, yes, you should probably have Dan Quinn in here. And he's already in on his second interview. Ownership's agreed to like him. I think he's got a really strong chance, but I have read that Poles does have full autonomy. He can do anything. And he has brought in his own names, or at least talked to his own names. So that's going to be interesting. But Jim Caldwell, I'm not thrilled with that name.
I like Jim Caldwell because he's a player's coach.
It's a lovey name. And I think – I don't know if we need to go to a lovey name again. I think we know what that gets us. It gets us to – well, now it would be 10-7. Are you thrilled with 10-7? I know what you want to say. Yeah, that's nice. I would say it's nice too, because it is nice as a Bears fan. It is. But I want 12-5. I want 13-4.
And I think Dan Quinn can get that. I love Dan Quinn in Atlanta, to be honest. But the end of his tenure was a little.
Hold on. One thing, though. The one thing that I really like about Dan Quinn is he came into Dallas, all right? And Dallas had a god-awful defense. But the thing that I thought Dallas was terrible at was they didn't know how to stop the run. And that's something that they actually did this year because of Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn like rebuilt that entire defense, and it was Dak and McCarthy that cost them a chance. Like, they both just couldn't do it. But Dan Quinn reinvented his like his career. He took a time off and he came back and he reinvented himself a little, and now he's ready to like go all the way back in. He's primed for success right now. I think he's a great name. And we picked John Fox instead 6 years ago.
I agree. I wanted Dan Quinn back then, but it's just what I fear though too. Is he the sexy name right now? And then he leads us to the John Fox records. And well, I will say Dan Quinn,
that if he will.
I will say the one thing that Dan Quinn I think would do a really good job at too is let our OC run the offense, stay hands off of that, just like he did with Kyle Shanahan. And so I would really like to see that. The question then becomes, who does he bring as his OC?
And look, you could sit here until the cows come home and try to like pick names out of your ass. The only people that honestly know are the people truly in the organizations and that have like a real pulse on the league. We can't sit here and say like, who?
I said we bring Urban Meyer. I want Urban Meyer.
Jesus Christ. I told my friends, I got two buddies I really talk ball with, and I said Joe Brady, and I got shot at with missiles for saying Joe Brady. I don't know. I kind of like Joe Brady off the top of my head, but I guess that's a terrible name. Do you like the name Joe Brady?
No.
I don't know. Oh, fuck. All right. Well, I guess I got to get Joe Brady out of my head. That was just the joke.
Yeah, you do.
Sean Payton also convinced me because he said he liked him, and I believe Sean Payton's opinion. I take it with a lot of merit. But
you and Sean are real close.
I mean, for the good coaches in the NFL, you know, there's only a couple. Sean Payton's definitely in there. But hey, it's probably one of the more exciting times to be a Bears fan, I'd say.
I won't call it exciting yet.
No, it is. I'd say because you have a GM who's just come in, who isn't emotionally connected to any of these players on the roster, doesn't have any of these relationships that Ryan's created over the last 6-7 years. He's not going to cut Eddie Goldman. He's going to keep trying to get Eddie to come back. Ryan's going to take one look at him. Ryan pulls, and he's going to go like, Eddie, you're fat, out of shape, and you're getting paid way too much money. You're cut. That's what he's going to say. And I'm going to be cool with that.
Hopefully he does it.
I don't know who makes the decisions in Kansas City. The guy's an offensive lineman. You got to think he had a little hand in reshaping KC's O-line this year. They drafted an all-pro from Oklahoma. They drafted
Kyle Long.
He hasn't played yet. We'll see.
That's what I'm saying.
They traded, obviously, for Orlando Brown. They got someone aggressively, yeah, a guy that they're going to re-sign. But they got Trey Smith, who fifth round, I think. And the guy's – he was a Tennessee five-star, but he had injuries. He's been a starter for every single game this year, and he got him in the fifth round.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's rebuilt that O-line, and he did it from the ground up. And that D-line for KC is also really good. So – if you just look at like Casey's O and D line, you think, well, if the Bears could just rebuild those two units right now, and they have certain decent players' skills on the other side, this team, there's no reason they shouldn't be a playoff team next year. There is no reason. That is my expectation, that they are a playoff team. I think they should be.
I'd love to see it. If
it's a Rodgers, weak NFC North.
If Rodgers is out, if Rodgers is out,
he is. They got to rebuild. I think that there's going to be.
So yeah, they have no cap. The thing is, if they give Davante Adams the franchise tag and Rodgers comes back, they're running it back one more year and then they're out. So I don't think it will happen. No. But
I think they're finally. They're opening up the closet and they're addressing the skeletons that they've tucked away for the last half decade.
Now, what I'm curious about is, just off topic real quick, how do you think LaFleur does as a head coach with Rodgers gone?
That's like a good Bill Belichick. Like, we'll see, because Aaron is a Hall of Famer, and Greg Olson just said on the
show, he's not a Hall of Famer. No, like, no way.
Greg Olson said, like, in his opinion, he thought Aaron is one of the more talented quarterbacks ever. Like, the guy's just
agreed. I mean,
but
Arizona Cardinals game at NFC divisionals is best game I've ever seen in my life.
I think he's a pretty good coach, and we'll see. it's a matter of like how much of it is his scheme and how much of it was like Rodgers, Devontae being on the same page. But I'm sorry, I keep going back to their red zone. Every time the Packers got in the red zone this year, he had a phenomenal scheme. It was all LaFleur. And I was just like, man, he can do it. So it's just a matter of can Jordan Love beat that guy, pal?
Well, and the thing I wonder is like, Jordan Love better be so damn good. He better be the next Aaron Rodgers. Because think about it. They made the NFC Championship 3 years in a row since he got drafted, or, you know, 1 year and then 2 years since he's been in the league. And imagine what they could have done with that first round pick that might have helped put them over the top into the Super Bowl.
Keep talking. I want to look up what year
that was. Like, it's amazing. It's just amazing to me that it was 2 years ago. It was 2 years ago he got drafted. He got drafted during COVID. And it's just amazing for me to think about, like, they could have gotten another wide receiver to help A-Rod. They could have gotten a defensive guy to stop Tom Brady. Like, you know, it's just, like, mind-boggling to me.
They traded up. So what
– they traded up for him. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The guys they missed. So they took Jordan Love, and do we want to go offense or defense, guys?
Offense first. Offense first.
So the names – I mean, you could take Michael Pittman. Who's
becoming a player. And
I would say right off the bat, T. Higgins and Michael Pittman, while good receivers, I could see in Green Bay's mind, Alan Lazard is a good big receiver that we have for a cheap deal. Like, why would we do this? I could maybe see why, but you keep going down. You see, like, Antoine Winfield, Grant Delpit, Jonathan Taylor, Jalen Johnson, Trayvon Diggs, Epinesa, who hasn't really done a ton, Willie Gay, who's been good, Jeremy Chen. I mean, there's a ton of names.
Imagine Jonathan Taylor in that backfield, though. Like, you have him and A-Rod just as the dual threat. Like, that is bad. Remember when Eddie Lacy had those, like, two good years and everybody was like, oh, shit. Like, Eddie Lacy and A-Rod are, like, a hell of a threat. Imagine talent of Jonathan Taylor being in that backfield.
Eddie Lacy, that was when he weighed, like, what, 245 pounds? He was getting bonuses on his contract if he came into camp weighing under a target weight. That's insane as an NFL running back that you got to work to get under a target weight. What are we talking about here?
I know.
No, that guy.
That was awful.
Him and BJ Raji, they were two fat
BJ
slops.
Raji.
Two fat slops.
What a name.
On that team. I hated those
two. What I hate about BJ Raji is he makes like a couple big plays in his career and he thinks he's like a goat. Like, he literally
I hated it. He made like a pick six once and it was all right, easy. BJ, you're not a big deal. I kind of want to like look a little into the future. Obviously, with a new GM, and with the new GM comes new tough decisions. I'm going to ask you for two of them. One, we have a second round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Which way would you rather go? Obviously, you're going to see where the board falls, best available. We're not going to look at a mock draft right now, but like
defense.
Which position would you go to?
I'd go defense, and I'd go secondary, either cornerback or safety.
See, I agree with that. I agree. If you could get a good, even if you could just get a good slot, if you could get a slot like a Bryce Callahan.
Exactly, and ease them into it.
You just throw him into the slot because we got torch at slot. You could go pay, I think. I said this to my roommate today. Would you be cool with a name like Joe Hayden for 1 year?
Yeah.
You have Joe Hayden, who's like 32 or 33, a vet man for 1 year. Put him opposite Jalen.
I would pay him even a little bit of money. I'd give Hayden a little bit.
Maybe $2 million. All right. We're not going to like.
Oh, I was going to say I'd give him like $4 or $5 million for the year.
No, God. All right. Stop.
You're
getting out of hand. This is. Have you not played Madden recently? That's not how the contracts work. You can give him like 1.3 when he's like 33. I played enough franchise mode.
Nah, for Hayden, that would be like when he's like 35, 36. But that's just me though.
No, but Joe Hayden, like that was a name that I loved.
And he's a leader. He's a vocal leader.
I think so. But there's good names, I think, for corner and safety in this draft. But I think the Bears could wait and get another late receiver because I think this class is really deep again.
Yeah, I just get so scared drafting receivers now with the Bears. Like, I know it's a whole new regime.
It is. It's first off, you got to get that straight.
It's just so scary.
I trust you have to. You have to trust. This guy's been with three GMs in KC. They haven't had a losing season in a decade. Okay, he knows what it takes to like.
I mean, Tyreek Hill was a late round pick.
Who knows, Sam? And everyone's been saying this on Twitter, and I'll say it on here. Who knows if he banged the table for Mahomes? Maybe we got that guy. You never know. So you gotta trust this process that he can make these aggressive moves to put the Bears in the best position. Look, you scoffed.
Now we're saying Ryan Poles made Pat Mahomes. Okay.
He might have banged the table. Dude, you don't know.
Remember when everybody said that about Matt Nagy? He made Mahomes. I just want to throw those words back in your face.
Look, we said a lot of things about Ryan Pace, too, about making that same Super Bowl team. I mean, we said a lot of things about them to make them seem better. And
well, the biggest mistake, in my opinion, that Ryan Pace made as a GM, besides drafting the wrong quarterback, is getting rid of Robbie Gould. I said it then. I say it now.
Well, no, Galaxy Brain, he did it because he knew it for this moment, 2022. He was going to eliminate the Packers in the snow at home and end Aaron Rodgers' career effectively immediately at Lambeau. Like, dude. Everybody knew that was going to happen in the storybook. Did you not
totally,
see the butterfly effect?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That was going to happen.
Or we could have just skipped the Parky double doink and we could have Robbie Gould make it because he's never missed a playoff field goal. So
I was about to say that, dude. That was a stat I said to my buddy. I was like, dude, Robbie's never missed one in the playoffs. And I might have just jinxed it, but by golly. And kind of going to the San Fran game, we've glanced over those games, but we'll touch on it briefly right now, actually. I want to go San Fran. Really quick, there's not a whole lot to say, but I think they gave Iowa fans hope that, like, you could win big games again. Like, this is kind of
cool. Oh, yeah. It was Iowa football, baby.
It was Iowa football. Special teams.
Special teams tutty and a field goal? Oh.
I'm going to toot the Chicago Catholic League horn. It was a Mount Carmel guy. That was a long snapper that gave up the block punt, so.
Wow.
Can't trust those guys.
Yeah.
Just a little heads up. But
I don't know. I thought Mount Carmel guys, like, are a little talented. They make the NFL, at least, you know.
Some of them. He's a long snapper. So we
made the NFL. Why do you hate on long snappers? We've had long snappers on the pod.
I don't hate on them. I'm just saying I think it's a select committee. You don't get picked based on your physical qualities as much as you can.
You get picked on your talent. On
the revolutions you put on
talent.
Yeah. No,
I defend long snappers. I don't know.
I'm not attacking. I just
don't know.
I'm good on that play.
I don't know. Mount Carmel struggles every now and then, but you know, they pull through. I don't know. They just have that NFL talent.
But that Chiefs-Bills game, 25 points in 2 minutes.
Insane.
We'll never see something like that, I don't think, ever again. Or maybe this will just turn into the new norm with Mahomes and Allen and Herbert and Burrow. And look, the AFC lost all the good quarterbacks that we grew up with, like the Roethlisberger, the Rivers, the Mannings.
The Brady, the only one left is Brady.
Right, and he's in the NFC.
And he's in the NFC now, but yeah.
The AFC's just completely reloaded their quarterbacks.
Which has been good because, like – I love the AFC QB battles. Like, I think AFC is the dominant quarterback league and always will be.
But I got a good sleeper Hard Knocks pick for you. Ready? Good quarterback. Ravens. Didn't make the playoffs.
Ravens are always a fun Hard Knocks team, too.
I think that'd be a really good one because you get
with AB in a Ravens uni.
With AB, and they have a new OC. They got the same head coach, so it's
they might be getting a new DC out of the Michigan.
They did. They got him for
jerseys.
So – I actually said the other thing to my roommate.
Harbaugh, like, stealing from Harbaugh.
Yeah, I was like, he's just going from one Harbaugh to the other. He must just love
how. But that a lot, they share a lot of the same coaches.
I know they like to swap spit a ton, but it's
yeah,
just kind of odd how they like to do it all the time. But
I always feel like John gets like the best out of them.
He's still in the NFL. I mean, he gets the cream of the crop. But that Chiefs Bills game, that was football porn. Overtime rules. This is my proposition for the overtime change. You make it 10 minutes. I don't think you could convince the players union to go another 15 minutes. You go 10 minutes.
And you just sling it.
Hold on. If you score a touchdown and you want to end the game right there, you have to go for two.
Ooh,
you have to.
I like
If you don't go for two, then you kick the ball off. Then they go for a touchdown.
I like that. That is a good amendment.
If they want to win it, then they go for two. If they just kick the extra point, then you go till sudden death next point. That, I think, could actually fix this because you see the statistic. It's like in the playoff like coin tosses. 9 of the 10 teams who win it win the game. It's like you can't – none of the defenses stop the other team. Who wouldn't want Josh Allen to get another chance? You know, the guy was unfucking believable, and, like, so was Patrick Mahomes. But I think that solves it. You give it 10 minutes. If you want to win it, you got to go for two. I don't like this whole, like, college OT. I don't like that because I think that still leaves the realm of you have a marathon game. The players will never sign up for that. Like, you can't play football for fucking six quarters. You just –
That's a good amendment. I like that. I'm here for that. I'd vote for that.
All right, good. I think that can do it. I think that can fix it because
go for two. I like that.
You need to have both sides touch it. And if you want to win it, you have to go for two. Like I think
that's fair.
Solves the problem. I think it does. And
you just don't want a guy named Derrick Henry on your team when you're going for two.
The other thing, I think you also eliminate the coin toss possibly. You do it. So, like, for example, the Chiefs came back and scored to tie it, right? The Bills would start the ball in OT.
Keep the coin toss.
Okay, fine.
I'm on the coin toss train.
Second coin toss amendment. Do we call it in the air or do we call it before? Because I think calling in the air is more fair because technically if we go down to
– I like the air. I like the air. I'm here for the air.
If you start it up, it's a 51-49. Just saying, it's technically it's a
win. Sounds like Jack's been gambling a little bit, guys.
No, I'm just saying it's for realsies odds.
He's been gambling on the coin toss.
Yeah, I've been gambling, but we gotta solve it. It's what? How long ago was that? Patriot Chiefs won. It was 3 years ago, 2 years ago.
Yeah. That was funny.
And that you can't have that. You know, you got to have both sides, I think, get the chance. And everyone always says, like, let the defense make the stop. It's a team game. Look, when you got two world-class Hall of Fame talents, you got to let both touch the ball.
So before we wrap, AFC and NFC championship predictions, I'm riding. Everybody knows the Chiefs are going to win, but I am riding for the Bengals to make it to the Super Bowl. I'm riding the Bengals. I'm riding the Bengals.
Well, you said your heart's with the Chiefs, and I think
– No, that's not what I was saying. I'm saying everybody knows the Chiefs are going to win, but I am riding the Bengals train. I am all for the Bengals.
I think their offense is hot.
It's so hot. And then NFC, I've been so torn here because I want to ride like last time 49ers because I want to see Robbie get the chip, see Kittle get the chip. But – to see Stafford be like, yeah, I was in fucking Detroit, and that's why I never got to compete.
Oh, yeah.
And I win a Super Bowl first year at home. That would be pretty epic. And I think I've told you, I don't know if you ever read the ESPN article that Seth Wickersham wrote detailing how the Rams got Stafford. Mm-mm. And how McVay saw Stafford coincidentally at a Mexico resort. And they just started talking ball.
Well, and then, dude, they're like – not even a year separated in like age.
And next thing you know, after leaving Mexico, it was basically a done deal that he was going to become a Ram. And he wasn't even thinking about being a Ram or anything yet. So it's just magical how that all happened. Think about
like that dynamic, like real quick, like the McVay staff, like they're the same age. Like Tom Brady, yeah. Byron Leftwich is his OC, but strictly by age, Tom Brady's older. I think he has seen more football. So who's the OC right there? You know, it's kind of crazy to think that just based on time and age, they've seen, around the same amount of football. It's just weird how like one's the head coach and then like one's the quarterback, but it's working magically. And for my own selfish sake, I've said Stafford, if he's drafted by a different team, same stats, he's at least
a two-time MVP. That's what I've said.
He's a Hall of Famer. He just needs one playoff run, just one. And he's got this.
I've said he has the Flacco effect, basically, is if he has this year, never has another year like this, but goes on a Super Bowl run, he's a Hall of Famer. Like, people can't deny the numbers. People can't play it down. Like, clear separation. So, for me, my heart has the Niners because of the boys, but I want to see, in terms of watching a fun playoff game, Bengals-Rams, and see Aaron Donald go up against Joe Burrow.
Oh, yeah. Well, Joe Burrow's going to be getting – shoved into the ground by Aaron Donald. And
that's what I think see the Rams offense go. I want to see McVay go full McVay in a Super Bowl because we saw a shitty Rams Super Bowl.
Well, you Patriots. You gotta put an asterisk because it's Bill. It's Bill. Like, Bill knows how to break you. And he broke him. He ran man all game. I loved that was the most football.
And they didn't even they didn't even play Todd Gurley, which was funny that game.
I love that. That was
old man Gurley.
That was fun. But yeah, no, I think I got a ride with the Niners too. I love their story. But a part of me kind of loves the Rams too, because
it's so tough this year.
No, they're built like a Madden team.
That's what I'm saying. They got Von Miller. They got OBJ midseason.
You can't not, you know, root for that and the whole Stafford story. So in the NFC, rather, I don't really care who wins. I'm excited for that game because it's a divisional game. So I'm riled up about that. That's really cool. And the NFL, they couldn't have asked for a better.
And it's an in-state game. Yeah. Like 49ers fans in LA, like there are a lot of those. There are a lot of 49er fans.
And so the other thing I'm excited for is I'm ready for the Super Bowl. I'm ready for Dre, Eminem, Snoop halftime show. That's going to be epic. And you know LeBron and D-Wade, they're going to be in a box together just dancing. You know there's going to be all the other celebrities.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be epic. It's going to be an epic Super Bowl.
No, the thing I'm excited to see two things. One, Bengals fans cry for a new center named Tyler Linderbaum. I think I've seen a lot of it already.
Yep, they have.
That but the second thing, this is just something that you brought up. You brought up Joe Flacco. And I was talking with one of my friends, 2 or 3 days ago. We were talking about Russell Wilson's playoff stats. And I looked up his game logs. They're terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. Yeah, I looked at Joe Flacco's. They're unreal.
I know. Playoff Joe.
And it's Stafford just can't get in his own way. You know, we saw the last 4 weeks. He fumbled that ball
at the end of the game against the Bucs. I am like, holy fuck, he is breaking. He's breaking right here.
The Brady effect. Someone tweeted Tom Brady's the devil. It looked like he was, that he had just cursed.
When Brady scored that game time touchdown,
I was like, the Rams are going to kick a 50-yard field goal, miss it. It's going in overtime. I was ready for extra football.
No. And when that didn't happen, I am like, Matthew Stafford with the missile. And he even said, I would never make that throw in any game if it wasn't for Cooper Kupp.
Football brain's twitching again. That play was a fuck up by the Buccaneers.
Yeah, complete mess up, dude.
What happened was their middle linebacker didn't get the call.
And they should have been playing deep zone anyway.
Well, they should have been in a zone. But even still, if you're going to be in cover zero, and it's crazy to not put a safety over Cooper Kupp, everybody's got to come. And not everybody came.
Yeah.
So you could sit here and say, it was Devin White, I think. What if he goes? Or Levante David, what if he goes? What if, that's football. But it's just so crazy how that little chess match is like the reason that we can sit here and say, they're gonna have to, rematch next year and see it. And speaking of rematch, I'll wrap up on this.
I don't think Brady's done. I'm saying
I don't either. No, I agree. I think that's all hogwash media talk. I think he's stringing it along. He's got one more in him. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
how old is he? 40? Is he 44 right now?
Yeah, he's turning 45 in August. He has to play at 45. Come on. He's the whole TB12 brand. I only think he'd stop at 45 because his wife would make him you said 45. Because I think he wants to go till 50. Like, that's my personal philosophy. If he went till 50,
what's crazy is we say, will he go till 50? The two head coaches that we're thinking about hiring, Dan Quinn and Jim Caldwell,
they're 50, all,
51.
Yeah, they're 6 years older than Tom.
Going back to the whole age seeing football, that's just insane. Tom Brady's got a coach. He's got a coach.
He's not going to coach. Because these elite athletes hate coaching because when they try to teach it, some of the instinctual stuff, different. They can't pass that on. You know, the only person who can really do it at a high level, I have to say, where it's super impressive, is Deion.
Yeah, but you know what's crazy? There was a video of LeBron from last night talking to some white kid on the Lakers, some kid they signed.
Yeah.
And he was pointing to him what the set was after the free throw, and the kid was like,
I made the They made
my guy.
They made the Iron Man joke about, like, did you see that?
No,
they made a joke. They made a joke about, like, LeBron giving instructions on how to build Iron Man, and the kid's like, I can't fucking do that. Like,
that was funny. No, but that was like, I hear it on Spit and Chicklets. Sidney Crosby, he probably won't coach because he's just insane. You just can't, you can't compute the game at their level. But no, this was this last 2 weeks was definitely a fun. You know, you usually count this as like the dead time for sports, but there's been some juice.
Some juice. The NBA's heating up too, which I like. And also too, this is what I'm gonna end on real quick. Do Lindy and Keegan Murray get picked at the same pick in the draft this year? I want to bet it.
That's a really good bet.
Do they both get picked at 6 or like 7?
No, dude, they could both go like 7 or 8. That's a really good
pick. People have Keegan Murray at 6 right now.
Dude, I know. That's Sam. That's a good bet. Oh, like always, guys, not the same time, same place. We'll see you guys later. That's fucking money.